Coastside. Welcome to this fabulous, finally sunny day on the coast on this Friday. Ruben is still out there gallivanting around in the European countries, so we hope that he's out there having a lot of fun with his family. And I am here with two of my favorite human beings, David Oliphant and Christopher Childers. And we're going to jump into a really fun conversation with them in just a second. But I just want to get this out of the way because I know once we get talking, we're going to forget everything we're supposed to talk about. Yeah. So I just want to remind everybody that next Friday, the show will be on hiatus for next week because it will be 4th of July. And the crew is going to be out at the 4th of July parade. Thank you, Cameron Palmer and his crew, for putting on one of the best parades on the coast side. I know he puts a lot of work into it. And if you want to be in that parade, please connect with Cameron. I know he loves to have as much of the community out as possible. There's going to be fun events on at the IDES Hall. They have this amazing music and party. And then I believe Make It Main Street's going to have some fun booths on Kelly Avenue. So please, everybody, come to downtown on 4th of July next Friday and be a part of all the fun festivities with everybody. And I'm really excited for everybody to have a fun summer party next Friday. And so thank you, everybody. And with that, I'm going to hand it over to our amazing sweet David Oliphant to let you've been on the show with me last summer, so to some listeners it's not totally new, but let everybody know all the amazing things that you do and who you are.
Yeah, thank you. Well, I'm just a local guy, right, doing my thing, but we do own a couple of businesses in town. One of them is the gym. People know Fit Studios, but stay tuned because that's getting ready to be rebranded.
How cool.
With a new name and some new classes and some new energy, so that's exciting. But I think really, Crystalline, what you might be fishing for is the company I used to own, the real estate company Ocean Blue Real Estate, merged with a really exceptional local boutique brokerage as well called Element Real Estate, and our new name is Ocean Element Real Estate. So same look and feel, incredible service, incredible team, two teams that have come together, have an amazing support infrastructure, and we're super happy. We just had a big client appreciation party at the bar.
Yeah,
it was amazing. Almost 300 people came, so it was a really super fun day. But Ocean Element's doing great things. We're committed to the community and making a difference here. So excited about that future.
That's really awesome, and it's so fun to see you grow. Because, gosh, I feel like, 3 years ago, it was just you and a few other people, and now you have how many?
Yeah, Ocean Blue came about right before the pandemic, so 2019. I always say we opened our office on Main Street in February and closed it in March.
Yeah.
But we survived, thankfully, so all went well. But now we're close to 20 people, including full-time agents, some referral agents, and support team.
That's so cool. Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. I love it. I get up every day and commit to that.
And then we should also acknowledge the Ocean Blue Art Vault.
Yeah.
Blue Dragon Pho.
All of that. Blue Dragon Pho is closed for the summer. Typically, we take a summer break so Sandy can spend some time with her family. So that just started. That typically goes July 4th to Labor Day. And the art gallery, the Ocean Blue Vault, it's actually perfect timing. We're getting ready to change from the spring group to the summer group. So the changeover happens next week. If people aren't familiar, we support local artists and give them a place to sell their work. And then they all agree to work one day a week. So that's changing over next week. And then the 4th of July weekend, it'll be the summer exhibit in there. And we're having a reception midday on the 5th. So if people are out and about and want to come by and meet the artists and see some art and support your local artistic community, that would be on the 5th midday. I think it's like noon to 3.
Oh, that's so awesome.
Thank you.
Really excited. And then joining us in the studio is your partner in life, who is there with you through all of these adventures. How are you, Chris?
I'm good. I'm happy to be here.
Good. And I don't know if you ever heard, but on the last time David was on with me, I think we talked about you probably half the time. So some people are familiar with you, but let people know what amazing things you're a part of.
Gosh, I do a kind of a big tossed salad of things. Of course, we have our gym. I teach pretty much couple times a week there consistently. I have an entertainment company that I do different shows and events for. I have a costume shop in town. I should say we, David and I both do. We kind of delegate to our areas and cross-promote when we can. What else do I have?
We should drop the new announcement that Chris, you can talk about your career and all the amazing people you've worked for, but Chris is going to start to teach private adult dance lessons. So if you've ever wanted to learn how to dance on your own and aren't prepared to go into a big group to learn, you can get a private with Christopher. Who are some of those people?
I've had a lot of requests for that, and I used to do them when I taught at other studios. But I finally just was like, oh, just give in and do it. So, yeah, it's basically an hour where I connect with somebody. We kind of go through a little brief warm-up. We talk about what goals they want. Some of them want to work on basic technique things. Other people want to do choreography. So we kind of do that in the whole hour.
Awesome. And if anybody wants to call in and chat with us at any point, please feel free. 650-560-9851.
650-560-9851. Call us.
Yeah.
Operators are standing by.
Yeah, awesome. And then, Christopher, how do you have the credentials to teach people how to dance?
Well, I started very young. My mother was a dance teacher, so I grew up with tap shoes on my feet when I was 3. Totally against my will, by the way. I just remember running around in tap shoes. Because my mother was a dancer and a dance teacher, that's pretty much how I grew up. And, I've never looked back. So I went from there to, ballet classes and jazz, and it kind of went off from there.
And who are some of the notable... I'm trying to pull this out of you. You're
okay.
Making it difficult.
Sorry.
Lordy. What are some of the notable acts that you've worked for, Christopher?
I've toured with Madonna and Whitney Houston. I've worked with Prince. I've worked with Paula Abdul. I've worked with Deborah Gibson. Remember Debbie Gibson?
Yes.
From the 80s, Electric Youth?
Woo.
That was my first video job in L.A., by the way. Who else?
Michael Jackson.
Michael Jackson.
Sandra
That's
Bernhardt.
A big one. Sandra Bernhardt. And then I worked for Cirque du Soleil. Right when I was going to retire, I got the contract with Cirque. And, of course, I was like, oh, gosh, do I really want to do it? Because it was such a hard show, 10 shows a week. But I said yes, and I
signed.
There's
not even that many days in the week. Let's just acknowledge
that.
That's not daily.
Hard,
that's
right.
Some days, I'm guessing Friday, Saturday, Sunday, doing multiple shows.
It's a lot, you know. Some days you're just so exhausted you can barely drag yourself out of bed. But I had a great time, and that was right when I wanted to retire. So they said, would you like to stay and become a coach for the show? And O was opening at the Bellagio. And I said, yeah. So I stayed. I was there for 10 years. So I got it. It was a smooth transition from performing to choreographing and coaching.
That's so cool.
You know, one of the fun things that came out of that, too, is I don't know if even people in the studio know, but Chris was the original Spider-Man. Did you know that?
I knew that.
You knew that. That came about from Cirque.
It did. We were in a production meeting. I had just moved to coaching. And our PR girl brought me into that meeting. She said, you should probably be here. So it was Sam Raimi, and I think Ian Bryce was the producer of the first Spider-Man.
And let's clarify, because there's 800 Spider-Man movies. That these are like what we, at least my age, we consider our Spider-Man movies, the Topher Grace movies, right?
Tobey Maguire.
Or Tobey Maguire, sorry.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it was their very first one, too, and they approached Cirque kind of officially to see if they were interested in helping them figure out how the Spider-Man would move. And, of course, Cirque, they're a little snobby. They were like, nope. But our publicist said, Chris here is a dancer and choreographer, and he's really talented. Maybe you want to talk to him about it. So after that meeting, Sam Raimi, he actually pulled me aside and he said, would you kind of want to come to L.A. and do some test stuff and, hang by a harness? And I was like, yeah. So I ended up working on it for a year and a half before they shot the movie. It was an incredible, job that happened through this meeting. I couldn't believe it.
That's so cool. And so when you watch those original, was it just the first movie or was it all three?
It was just the first one.
Okay, so when you watch the first movie and you see those iconic moves in the costume... That is our dear, sweet, amazing, awesome questioner.
That's me. That's me. It was funny because Sam had them all storyboarded, each shot and each, like, when he first gets his spider sense and climbs the wall. So we went through all of that, and I was the guy who did that all and figured it out with him. It was incredible. It was great.
I know I'm supposed to talk, but it's just so, so verklempt.
I'm happy to talk, whatever you want.
As a comic nerd, I just am, like, dying. And then you get to go to Comic-Con all the time, right?
I do, actually. It's funny. This is probably the first year I'm not going to go because I've got some other commitments in July. But, yeah, for the past how many years? Like three or four years. I've been on a panel, and I've got to talk about it, which has been just phenomenal. I just love doing that. And, of course, I'm such a nerd anyway. You know, I grew up. I just always love sci-fi. I'm a Star Wars nut and all that. So, yeah, I was just super excited.
Yeah, oh, gosh, it's so amazing. And then I want to say that I'm not gonna out you guys here, but I'm not fully convinced that you're not immortals. Because you both have, just both separate and together, have both lived seemingly full lives. Like, you guys have so many experiences that are just so amazing in their own right, just in their own little pockets. And then to know that that's then, like, each experience is bookended by other amazing experiences. So I know it's the life that you live. So for you, it's your day-to-day. But for a mere mortal who just, like... runs a chamber.
That's not like a huge job, and you're not constantly working.
Constantly working, but not on cool things like cruise ships. Like, I think that's another fun story that you guys share about how you. I think that's how you met, right?
No, we met by a swimming pool in Palm Springs.
Oh, sweet.
But we both lived in Vegas at the time.
There we go.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I always do say we're both, because we're kind of both, let's try to say yes more than we say no people in our lives. And on paper, we are about 108 probably. Like, if you'd read our resume, they're like, are these people?
And my back feels 108. So that's,
yep,
that
still,
tracks, as they
still
say.
Still coaching and doing the classes multiple times a week.
Right.
So.
Exactly. Right. That's true. But yeah, we have had some great experiences. Chris and his sister had a company that would produce shows for cruise lines, so we've worked for a number of different cruise lines. I'm kind of a logistics guy for people who know me, so I managed the cruise ships, the contract for 6 months, so we typically had six people, and there were five ships, so there were always casts getting on and off ships around the world. So we did that, and through the process, I met some of the people for Silver Sea Cruises, and they're like, you're really an outgoing guy. You like to talk. You'd be a great cruise director. And I was like, no, I would not be. Just because, you know, 4 months at sea, and I was like, really? And he said, well, there's this one cruise we're thinking about for you, but it's going around the world. It's a 120-day cruise. I was like, yes, that I will do. So I got to have that fun experience just from kind of saying yes. So
I will say, though, he got off the ship and he had a tick in his lip from the stress.
A nervous twitch.
A high-stress job. But
yeah,
I lost 20 pounds and came home with a nervous twitch.
He did.
I know. I was like, that's a stressful job. Because, you know, you were on every day, 7 a.m. to midnight for 120 days.
Yeah.
And then you're hiding when you go ashore because people are like, do you know where the closest market is?
And I'm a hider. Like, I do a lot of stuff, but when I'm like, this is downtime, like, phone is off, and I love to, like, he's had to be out all the time.
For 4 months every day. Yeah,
you're kind of like that.
Well, but people are shocked to find out that I'm a hardcore introvert. So it's like, I've learned to be extroverted because of my job, and I really do have fun when I'm out and around people, and I do feed off people's energy, and I love to be in the mix in that moment. But like, the second that moment is over, like, I am a zombie. I feel bad for best boyfriend Jesse, because he at home often feels like I'm upset at something, and I'm like, no, this is just my I am very tired zombie face. Like, I will just get so zoned into the TV or whatever it is I'm, you know, playing on my Switch or whatever.
Totally relate.
And yeah, and it's just like, it's such the exact opposite of how I am when I am around people. So I totally can relate. I would be like in the cabin, like, see ya.
It's funny though, I just had said this to a friend of ours who came to visit. You know, couples are so funny because there's usually one that's like, I want to do this, that, and the other. And the other one's like, okay, well, maybe, but let's, like, you know, unfortunately with us, we're both the same. Let's do this. Okay, why not? So we're just like, no one's there to tell us not to open a new business or do a new thing. So I don't know if that's good or bad.
Right. I've seen those videos where people give their dogs like the little button and their dog can press the little button to tell them what they want. We need to give your dog the no button.
He would love that. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. So that would be so funny,
when
actually.
You're just, it's just like when you're just running around.
No.
No.
You're not doing that.
No.
And he would be the no. He wants us home all the time, so
he does like us home. For people who don't know, Wuxi was a little dog that Chris was working on a show for 4 months in China right before COVID.
Yeah, 2019, the end of 2019.
And Wuxi was a little stray on the street, and they fell in love, so we figured it out and brought him home. So that's why his name is Wuxi, because he's from Wuxi, China.
Yeah.
So he lives here, too. He's a local celebrity.
Yeah, so cute. All pets and animals are cute.
They are. We're looking at Nancy.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh, the cat here. She's such a sweet girl.
Engineer Frank has the sweetest, most chill cat known to mankind. Just hanging.
She is not bothered by any of this.
No, so great. I love Nancy.
It's funny you'd say I've had to learn the opposite from you, right? Because I'm such a high energy sort of person that I've had to learn the fact that it's okay not to be and to like take a minute for myself, right? So what, I'm 62 now? So that's a lesson I'm just literally learning at this point in my life.
I feel like that lesson comes out of exhaustion. Like, so
you are right about that.
Yeah, so I, so going through the pandemic, that was kind of like the Chamber's Super Bowl. You know, everybody needed and wanted help. And so I had 2 years where I was going. And I love it. Acts of service is my love language. Mm-hmm. So it's like I get such immense joy out of doing things for other people. And it was actually when I stopped that I got burnout. So my family, coming out of the pandemic, had a family vacation. It was my first time ever being able to go on vacation with my family. Oh, I think we might have a caller.
Uh-oh.
How exciting. Hello, caller.
Hello, Crystalyn, David, and Christopher.
We know that
Julie
voice.
Ross.
Oh, Julie. Hi.
How are you today? Oh, that's the signal of Montero right there.
There it is, right.
Julie, try calling back. You're breaking up.
Oh, no. Okay, will do.
Okay. So I went on this vacation with my family for a week. We went to Hilton Head. So I was like, that was my first time. Like, that was the farthest I've ever been past, like, Nevada. And so excited. Took about 2 days to unwind. And then I unwound to the point where when I came back, it took me 9 months to get back into the fray of things.
The frenzy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then that was my first real experience with burnout.
Mm-hmm.
And then really trying to acknowledge, like, yes, I want to be at all these things and I want to go to all these things, but every once in a while, like, I have to stop. So I try to have one weekend day off every other weekend, like, very deliberately.
Yeah, you should. That's important.
Yeah. I was talking to a professional coach one time and I said, I'm okay. I'm really good at multitasking. And he said, maybe you shouldn't be.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
No, can be a complete sentence.
Yeah, I hadn't thought about it.
Oh, my gosh. So
that way.
Yeah. But it's good for us. You have to take that time to recharge and give your brain time to catch up and your body time to catch up. And then spend time with your loved ones, because it's like similarly. Is Julie back? Oh, hello, Julie.
Hello.
There you are.
I'm better.
Hi. I just, when I saw that Christopher and David were on, I had to listen, and I have to call and just say hello.
Hi, Julie.
Hi, guys. How are you? Christopher, every time I hear more about you, I'm blown away. Like, I thought I knew everything, and now I'm like, wait a minute, Spider-Man.
You're so funny. Well, you know what's so crazy, and I've said this before, like, people, there were so many things that happened in my career that were big, but way before that, I was, you know, a nobody, auditioning and getting cut and go-go dancing for money and all that good stuff. So by the time I got to the good stuff, it really popped. I was doing a lot of stuff. So there is stuff even I forget. Spider-Man's
That's
pretty big,
amazing.
Though. Thank you. Thank you for that.
I'm waiting. I'm waiting for the book about the two of you to come out.
Or the next, podcast.
Right?
Yeah, or yeah. A podcast.
Oh. Podcast might come first. We've had a couple of requests for podcasts.
Well, KHMB Coastal Windage is just as
good. We love it. Trust me, we're honored to be here.
Don't let Ruben catch you calling it anything related to a podcast.
There you go. There you go. I did want to say that Christopher didn't mention that he also is a filmmaker.
Oh,
and
yeah.
That's how I first met him, Carnival of Wonders. That we showed as a movie part of Make It Main Street. And David, I thought you had been around for like 10 years when I approached you back in 5 years ago this August.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, and that's just when Ocean Blue started. But before that, I was at Alain Pinel, which, of course, is now Compass. But we moved here in 2011?
2011, but we were at the... We were at the RV park. We were at
another story.
Pelican Point.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Well, when we knew we wanted to leave Vegas, but we didn't know where we wanted to go, we had the opportunity to take some time off. So we bought this was another idea. Maybe we should do that. And the next day I'm buying one.
Oh my God.
We bought a big 40-foot motorhome and a Jeep, and we put the dogs in it, and we spent a year driving around the country just to kind of figure out where we wanted to land. And our last stop happened to be by chance Pelican Point RV Park in Half Moon Bay. We never left.
And
lucky coast side.
Well, Julie, I love that you brought up Carnival of Wonders because that was such a fun... It's funny, I'll forget about it because we shot in 2019.
Mm-hmm. It must have been 2018 because
I think you're right.
Yeah, 18.
We had that freakish hot summer. It was that July where it was like 100 and something. And we were at Long Branch shooting.
In full costume.
But Julie, that was such a fun event, and that was the first time we got to work together, and she was so great about, she had a green room set up with all the little gift bags and everything, and the Q&A, it was so much fun. All your events are like that.
Well, thank you for saying so. I want to just throw out there that you said Jaws.
Oh, yeah.
Celebrating its 50th anniversary.
Jaws is 50. Come on, we got to do something.
I want to. I definitely want to. So I've written a couple people, and I want to make that happen. As long as I can get the license, I'm going to try.
Oh my gosh, that was a great idea. Well, I watch it every 4th of July. I have to watch it. When it first came out, that first shark attack, it horrified me. I think I was like 10 or 9, and my mom had to take me out of the theater. I was so like upset.
We are wildly different people.
I know.
The first movie that ever my mom had to like contemplate taking me out was The Land Before Time.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
that movie made me so upset.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, that's funny. Very funny. I love that.
Julie, I have to tell you, one of the best places I've ever seen Jaws, and I don't know how big the pool is here, La Petite Pouline, but somebody rented a swimming pool, and we were all in the water on rafts.
Oh, my God.
Oh, that's a cool idea.
And watching the movie. So I don't know how big the pool is here, but that might be a place to show it. But everybody has to get in the water and float for the movie.
We'll call it a dive-in. You know, the Half Moon Bay
Lodge. Yeah, a dive-in.
Amazing. I love that.
Half Moon Bay Lodge has a heated salt pool.
See?
So it's possible there, but otherwise I would say it's too cold.
Yeah, check out the pool. It was a fun night.
That is a really cool idea.
Isn't that a great one?
And you had to watch it in the water.
Can I be the shark?
Heck yeah.
I totally
the other location I was just writing is I went to the harbor for the salmon release and talked to a bunch of people then. And they seem excited to do a movie, so imagine sitting out on the pier.
Yeah, that's cool.
And it's very Jaws. Remember, they had the little inlet. That's why people were getting killed because of the shark. You know, that was based on a true story. That this random shark attack happened because the shark came in from the ocean into like a little inlet.
Aww.
And nobody had seen a great white back. This was like 1900s or something, but
so wild.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, thank you, Steven Spielberg.
Exactly.
Anyway, you guys, thanks for being
thanks,
on
Julie.
And sharing your story. It's great to hear your voices.
Thank you so much.
We'll see you soon, hopefully.
Okay. Take care.
Bye, Chris.
Bye. Oh, that would be so my bonus mom, Jennifer, that they were doing kayaking in the harbor, and a a seal came out and grabbed a bird, like, right next to her. And, for like, that was literally her, like, Jaws moment. She just could not even, like, she got out of that water real fast. And then the next time she came back, like, she was really hesitant to get in the water. But, like, I purposely got little shark shoes. And I was like, woo-hoo, they're coming for you.
I would say anything that comes out of the water, I don't care what it is, and comes near you is horrifying, right? Like, that's not my jam.
Yeah, well, because, you know, with the ocean, you're speck. Like, I say yeah. I'm the only wannabe mermaid that I know that's, like, afraid of the water. Like, I get, like, barely knee-high in there, and as soon as I start to feel the water pull out, I'm like, nope.
That's so funny.
It is. It's scary, you know? Yeah. I have friends that are so afraid of sharks. They won't remember Michael.
Yeah.
I have a very close friend. He did music composer, and I didn't know he was afraid of the water until we were in Hawaii together. And I'm like, let's go in. He's like, no, I'm okay. And I'm like, what do you mean you're okay? We're in Waikiki, of all things, too. It was very, like, commercial, and he would not go in the water. And he's like, well, I'm afraid of sharks.
Aww.
Like, yeah, but even to your knees? He's like, nope.
No, I don't.
That's funny.
I want to keep my toes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It can happen.
Goodness gracious. Well, thank you, Julie, for calling in, and we look forward to the film festival later this year. We've just been talking about so many things, I can't even remember where we left
off.
Well,
I want to add to David's piggy... No, I want to add to his piggyback. I want to piggyback on what David was saying about the gym. We are doing a rebranding.
Yeah.
And
we're not releasing the name yet.
We're not releasing the name or many details, but there's a lot of changes coming. Hopefully all good. We've taken a lot of feedback from our members and from people that have very, you know, I don't want to say opinionated, but they're like, I think this is great. I don't think this is so great. So we've really weighed those options. And we're doing this new launch, and we're super excited about it.
And that'll happen this summer, I think.
Yeah.
Right? Before kids go back to school.
Yeah.
Oh, that's really cool.
Yeah. August.
Yeah.
You know, we can't possibly have an hour where we don't have something to do.
No, heaven forbid.
Like, why sit around?
At the Chamber, we kind of do that, too. It's like, so we're actually, it's not going to be like a big, like, to-do or anything, but we're rebranding Coastside 365 to Coastside 411 because it was kind of similar. It was like, even though 365 was kind of meant to be like, oh, Coastside, like, for the locals, Coastside every day, it just wasn't really sticking with people. And so same, we got the feedback and kind of weighed it out and made sure that the feedback wasn't just, you know, some people's gut punch
opinion,
kind of a
right.
thing, and then, you know, that it was really a consistent thing. And we're slowly but surely just going to change it to Coastside 411, your Coastside information.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Love it.
So love a rebrand.
Yeah.
And with that, we are going to head off to our break to thank our amazing sponsors, Cameron Palmer, if you're out there. And when we get back, more with Christopher and David.
This is Community Radio for the Coastside.
100.9 KHMB.
Coastal Windage is brought to you by Cameron's Restaurant and Pub in Half Moon Bay. Come for the food, stay for the fun. That's Cameron's Restaurant and Pub on Highway 1 in Half Moon Bay.
This is Jay Michaels. Join me this morning at 10 o'clock right after Coastal Windage. I'll be along with Stan Warren Luttrell getting a check of your weather. Also, we'll take a look at today in history. And don't forget our forgotten find. All comes your way right after Coastal Windage on your Friday morning from 100.9 FM KHMB.
Said in your best radio voice.
I gotta try to keep the Rubenesque going. He's really good at the highs and the lows of the radio voice.
Oh, nice.
And so for anybody just joining us, we're here with David Oliphant and Christopher Childers, amazing co-siders, 700 businesses between them, 200 years worth of lives. and they were just catching us up on some of their changes coming to their business fit, and we were talking about rebranding and all kinds of fun stuff. And I think there's a couple of interesting stories that I think we have yet to get to. So do you want to tell us about, which was actually just in the news, Great America?
I know. That's such a bummer.
Because was it your first job?
Yeah. When I was 15, actually still in high school, I auditioned for Great America for the summer. And that's when they had those big dance shows and singing shows. And I got cast in Theater Royale, which was Bugs Bunny's life story. Remember they had the character show with some dancers and characters?
I honestly didn't know that. Like, oh, I've gone to, you know, growing up in high school in, there's another call. Concord Walnut Creek. We went to Great America often, but I don't think I ever knew they had shows.
I know.
Yeah, big shows.
Hello, caller. Who do we have?
Hi, my name's Tricia.
Hi, Tricia. How are
Hi,
you?
Trisha. Good. I think I know this voice.
You do.
Hi. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good.
Okay, so it's kind of the same question for both of you. But for David, when you come up with a new idea for a new business, do you think in terms of, is this what Half Moon Bay doesn't have, or is it something that you enjoy and, like, you think it would be good for the town?
That's a question. It's a very good question. Thank you. Sometimes it's a little bit of both. I like to fill a niche, right, when something is kind of missing, which I think is how the artist collective came along. Artists struggled through the pandemic, and there was no platform for them to kind of come back, so that's how the gallery was born. Yeah, it's a good question. It's stuff that I love as well as stuff, something that might be missing. I think some people know, poor Christopher knows that I think of things in the middle of the night, so I have like practically a whiteboard next to the bed and I write everything down. Like whiteboarding at 3 a.m. But one of my funny dreams, and you know, it'll probably never happen, and if you work for Bank of America, please don't write me, but I had a vision that Bank of America stopped leasing that building, and we opened a emergency vet. Yes, there's going to be a lot of applause out there for a local emergency vet at night, and a dog rescue, and we called it Bark of America.
Yeah.
So I've already got the name. Don't try to take the name, but barkofamerica.org is going to be the website. So that might be one of the last things we'd probably do.
Wouldn't that be fun? Tricia, you're a dog person. You have an amazing puppy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I have two.
That's right. That's right.
Christopher, so when you do your shows, how do you come up with the ones that you're going to do next? Is it something that you wanted to do like when you were younger, or is it something like David, like you get in a dream, or where do your shows come from?
It's funny. I think I'm a compulsive creative, so I'm always creating while I'm driving, or I should be paying attention more to the road.
Yes.
I mean, I'm driving, but I've always got music, so I'm always constantly creating. So I think, and you've done a few of my shows. I have to brag about Tricia just a little bit. She's been with me since, what year did we start together? 2017?
It's been 9 years.
So she's been one of my amazing students, and she's gotten way better, by the way. Kudos to you for that.
Yay.
Her dancing looks really great. So she's been with me since 2017, and we've done a lot of projects together, so this question is personal because I know she's been in my shows. So, yeah, I think it's I'm always mulling over ideas. And I think depending on the year that I've had, that's kind of reflective of the show that I'm currently. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah,
we should note that you have the last 2 years put on a show, Circus Freaks.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, we started Circus Freaks back up again in 2023, because last year was 2024. Yeah, so I ran that show in 5 years in Las Vegas as a benefit, and then we moved, and I never thought about it again. And then we were, I don't know, sitting around talking about projects, and I thought, oh, I'm going to bring Circus Freaks back.
You got 12 separate projects.
Exactly.
That's not enough.
And Tricia knows, she's been in both of them. And they were
so
both
fun.
Very different, right?
Yes.
Don't you think?
Yeah.
It was funny.
Very.
People that came to the show last year were saying, oh my gosh, it's a completely new show. We can't believe it. And I'm like, well, yeah. Like, I can't repeat I don't know. Right. I like to change and go with what's happening. So
piggyback on what's there. Something different.
That's it. Exactly.
Well, you know, the thing that's fun about the show is when Christopher did it in Las Vegas, a lot of talent was in the show because it was after their shows, and they all wanted to keep doing it, right? So, you know, Robin Anton, who started the Pussycat Dolls, she insists on being
She's
in
so
it.
Cool.
She's so cool. And, you know, Johanna, who's the pole dancer who taught J-Lo for the movie Hustler.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, some really big names came to do the show, but really because they love Chris's creativity and his heart and soul. But
that's a compliment.
Which there is a name for it. So last night I was catching up on my America Sweetheart, you know, road to being a Dallas cheerleader, because I have illusions of grandeur. And one of the coaches there said that they joke with her that it's choreography, because she gets all of her ideas for the routines and stuff in her drive
to
and from.
It's a thing. I love driving. Trisha knows this. I have a Shelby GT350. I'm not bragging. I'm just saying. And I love putting on music in that car and driving down the coast, up and down. I'll be running errands or whatever, and I always have music, and I'm always creating. It's a thing. It really is.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it's a stick, so I have to be careful when I'm
shipping.
Yeah. Doing choreography while driving. So, yeah.
We make that show a fundraiser as well. The first show, it was the benefactor was, or beneficiary was, Castro Country Club in San Francisco, which is a sober center for the LGBTQ community who's trying to get sober and get back on their feet and get work. So a great organization. And then last year it was Muttville Senior Dog Rescue. So we got to donate $5,000 to each organization each year. So
that's so cool.
Yeah, that was, you know, it's heartwarming. We're trying to give back.
Yay.
People who know Chris and I know that we try to give back as much as we can.
Absolutely.
Yes. So thank you, guys.
Thanks for calling in,
Trisha.
Thank you, Trisha.
Okay, you too. Bye.
Okay, bye.
Thank you, Trisha, for those awesome questions.
Yeah,
love
they were
it.
Good ones, right?
Yeah. That's exactly what we want. So if other people want to call in, 650-560-9851, and you can call in and ask your super awesome questions.
Yeah.
Let's get back to Great America. So they had shows, which I had no idea about.
Right. They did, and they were super involved. I just remember, they had two. They had the Grand Greater Grand Music Hall, which was like the singer. If you were more of a singer, that was your show. And the dancers were always at Theater Royale, which was the character dance show, which was kind of funny. And because I was one of the taller ones, I was Foghorn Leghorn. You know Foghorn Leghorn?
Is he a rooster?
Yeah, he's a rooster. Hostly,
like
boy.
Very southern.
Yeah. Hey, boy. Like, yeah. Myself and Keith Goings had to do it. And back then, this was like 1981, I'm dating myself for sure, but the tail alone had like this harness that went over your shoulders and then two giant safety belts and a big rod that went down your spine to hold the tail out. And you had to dance in the costume and hold heavy props and you're sucking in air and you're in this, you know, this is pre-everything. No HR, no nothing, right? We're doing a show.
And
we done nada.
No,
so it was like, and we did five a day, and I think we did seven on the weekends. And
oh,
I just have to say this, on our days off, guess where we were?
Great America.
Great America.
Right.
Like as an adult now, it's like you want to run from work, right?
Yeah.
But that's how into it we were. Our manager at FIT, Stacey Jones, who's amazing, was in the show as well.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah.
I love the small world stuff.
I do too.
Isn't it good?
Yeah.
And it's closing, which is such a bummer.
Yeah, I mean, they're giving it 3 years, so, you know, they can always pull something out of their hat, I guess. But, yeah, I think they said officially they're closing the shows and then just leaving it rides only. But they don't see it really living past 2028.
That's such a bummer. Wow.
Yeah.
It was a big deal. I think it opened in 1976. Maybe 1976.
Yeah, it's been around for a long time.
It's been there
so if
forever.
Anybody has fond memories of Great America,
yeah,
you know, go back and live them up now.
Yeah, I remember the Demon, which was the roller coaster with the two corkscrews, lost a wheel.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah, that was like a big, and it came to a. Nobody was hurt, thank God.
Gosh.
But yeah, they had a few accidents over there that were not fun.
Right,
but we were in the shows.
Are.
Like we weren't on the. We would go on the rides, but we're mostly in the shows. So,
being in a costume, does that, I mean, you're a very fun and free person already, but like, so a couple of weeks ago, I got the chance to be Cruella de Vil for the Paws in the Park.
Nice.
And I had heard before about like some podcasts where people were like, team mascots and, like, in their daily life, like, nobody would think that they're the mascot because they're so quiet and they're so reserved and da-da-da, and that there was something about putting on the mask that just allowed them to be open and free with people not knowing who was on the underneath, so they didn't personally feel judged. And when I had the Cruella costume on and I was just walking around being, like, really snarky and you know, the, like, kind of faux European accent and the whole things, and just, you know, pointing at people and, you know, "You are disgusting." You know, like, running around for 4 hours doing that, like,
a blast.
I was having so much fun not being me. Like, when you get to be in these different costumes and stuff, which I think we should note that Fancy Pants, the costumes in Fancy Pants are pretty much all costumes from your shows, whether you wore them or your team wore them. But there's like 7,000 costumes in there.
It's a lot. We were just in there yesterday. I walk in, sometimes I'm like, holy moly. Yeah, you're exactly right. So a lot of it is personal costumes that, and look, it started with my sister, who's older than I am, and she used to do all the costumes for our dance studio, you know, when I was a little one, and she saved all of that. So that's like building from then, and then we did all the shows, and then, so yeah, and it was in storage forever, so we finally got it out of storage, but it's a lot.
But, and then, so when you put on costumes, like, do you feel like a, like, you're Christopher, but like...
Transform?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially like in something like Cirque, where it's so character-driven, and I was one of the characters, it's so fun to like, yeah, it's like you can hide behind it in a way. In a good way, like you were saying, you can just be like a different person. So for sure, I think when I was doing Foghorn Leghorn, though, I was just trying to breathe.
Yeah.
It was so heavy, and I was 15. I think I might have turned 16. I think you had to be 16 back then. Yeah, we were just like, you know, but then you weren't always a character, so you had to rotate into characters like twice a week, and then you were a dancer the rest of the time.
Oh, nice.
Which was great.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
Share the love of
full
that.
Air. Yeah.
Gross. Not going through the washing machine costume.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. And Stacy was Sylvester. Remember Sylvester the cat?
Of course.
Sylvester.
Oh.
Yeah.
You had a fun moment being kind of a character when you were dancing for Madonna, right? Wasn't there a number you were actually like a plant in the audience?
Oh my gosh. Yes, I was.
You haven't seen the girly show, watch the girly show. But Chris is one of the dancers and he was a plant in the audience.
Yeah. Not a plant that you water, but
not like a fake,
yeah, I was like a ficus,
a plant, yeah,
okay,
a plant being like a fake audience member, and I would run up on the stage and tear my t-shirt off and try to attack Madonna, and then I would go into the dance number. I was like the first guy that started that number, but that was fun and a little scary because we'd be in different countries where they would have the guard, they would have machine guns.
Oh Lord!
So I'm like, don't shoot me. Please let them know that.
Yeah.
And our director, Madonna's brother Christopher, was always like, "We got it. Don't worry. Just do your thing.
Just rush the stage and attack Madonna."
Yeah.
Yes.
What?
Yeah.
Right.
Which really happened when we were in South America. The only two times people got on stage was in South America, Rio and Sao Paulo.
Because they were just so excited?
They snuck in underneath and got out on the stage and they ran out and grabbed her. Like, it's scary for, you know.
Yeah.
And we reacted so slowly. We're like, what's happening?
Because it's just shock.
It is shock.
Yeah.
The security hopefully acted pretty quickly.
Oh, my. Bob and Earl, the bodyguards.
Just on it.
Yeah, two African-American gentlemen that are probably 6'4". I saw Earl again. He was, I shot the movie called The Wedding Planner with Jennifer Lopez.
Oh, that's one of my favorites.
Yeah, and he was her bodyguard, and he remembered me. He saw me dancing. He's like, "Chris, weren't you in Girly Show?" I was like, "Great to see you." So he had gone from Madonna to J-Lo. But those guys were awesome at their job. They had that person off stage, and once we all figured out what was happening, they got them off her. And
there's nothing like a professional. Like, I just enjoy people who are so locked in on like what their job is, and then they do it really, really well. So kudos to
the security guys are intense.
Oh,
they're so like focused, and they stay in the wings. They just focus on her the whole show and us, but.
Yeah.
It's pretty crazy.
Completely, like, semi-related, but completely off track. One of my favorites to watch is being with best boyfriend Jesse. I've learned a lot about football. And there's one of the coaches and people out there, please, if you're into football, you'll know who I'm talking about, but you will scream that I can't remember the name nor the team. But I think there's a thing where coaches can get in trouble for stepping onto the field at certain times. And this one coach is so, he's up and down and da-da-da, that they actually have somebody whose job is to just mirror him, and just every time he gets near the field, he's just like, taps him back,
Holy cow, that's cool.
He's just doing this the whole time. It's so fun to watch, though, because it's just like, this guy, he's so locked into this coach and making sure he does not step on the field.
Wow.
It's hilarious.
I think I've seen clips of him, because he grabs him by the hips and pulls him back.
Pulls him back.
That's adrenaline. He must just be like ready to. Oh my gosh, amazing.
Okay, but like, how do you get that job? Like, right. I would not mind getting, whatever it is, $50,000 to just go to football games and just like keep the coach on
the coach.
On the side.
Right. I think that must be a friend of a friend job. I don't know how you apply for that one.
Well, and the same with like the Gatorade people, like they just run out and they're just like literally like shooting Gatorade at the players. Like,
you know what's so funny is we were so late to the party. I don't know how, and please don't be mad at us if you hear this, but we just finally watched Ted Lasso.
Oh my gosh, what a fave.
What a great show. And it was so much about that stuff, but what a great message in that show.
Yeah, it was fantastic. I think Melanie, who was like, you haven't seen it?
Probably.
What is your problem? You haven't watched it? And we finally sat down and we just binged it. I just love it so much.
I have my Bia Goldfish sweatshirt on today.
Yeah.
And then, I think the season four. So it was only
coming back,
It was only slated to have three seasons. Like, that was their vision.
And they did kind of tell the story, right? Like, at end of three, you're like, oh, okay.
Yeah. But it was just so popular, and so many people, especially coming out of the pandemic, and I think they just got so much feedback that, like, having shows that just continue to have positive, affirmations and, be curious and all
and
of
be yourself
things.
And take care of each other. And
well,
like,
it felt so good. It was just because you meet all these tough soccer guys, or a few of them, and it was more about their journey in life and becoming better human beings, which I just, we both love that so much. We were like, oh.
And
right?
It's done with such levity and, Jason Sudeikis. Have you ever seen him sing? In real life.
Is he awesome?
Oh my gosh, he's just so fun to watch. And then him and Comedy Nerd, so buckle up. him and I think it's Will Forte, but they will be doing kind of guest spots on bigger real deal big concert halls and stuff. And then they will sing like Lady Gaga songs and all kinds
awesome.
Of stuff. And they just belt it out, and they've clearly been drinking a little bit too much.
Get it done, right.
They're so fun to watch. I love it.
Yeah. That's awesome.
YouTube those. It's really worth it.
We will.
Awesome. Well, you know who I can't, you're going to remember her name. I can't take my eyes off
Hannah.
Her.
David's in love with Hannah Waddington, right?
She's a dream.
I know. I'm like, what's happening?
If anybody's not familiar with the name, it's the gal who plays the team owner in Ted Lasso, who is an amazing
singer. Holy moly.
Theatrical actress, real go-getter for, artists' rights, just real firm, loving, person in that arena.
We love her so much. David's
she's my crush.
I love her so much.
Yeah.
She's going to lead me to try to find her in England. But she's knockout and just incredibly talented. And that voice. My gosh.
Yes.
Holy
moly. And she's so, she comes across as both like emotionally strong and like physically, I am sorry, but I am obsessed with her arms.
I know.
Mm-hmm. Her, like Madonna's arms.
Yeah.
I don't know what that workout is.
I know.
But it is amazing. They are just so awesome.
Yeah. Incredible.
It's cool. It's fun to watch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We used to always talk about Madonna's quads on her thighs. Oh my God. The best legs ever on the planet.
Didn't you have a Madonna Star 69 story?
Yes. Oh my God.
Oh, wait, we should tell people what that is, because anybody younger than 40 is not going to know what that is.
Because
so
it's not
this
a thing.
Is pre-self. The cool thing I will say, too, about my career with Michael and all these great people, this is pre-computer, pre-cell phone. So we were, like, actually having conversations and living a full life through, like, human interaction like we used to do without... to have been doing those careers during a time when we didn't have this, you know?
Yeah.
But we were we were in rehearsals. Madonna lived in this big palace, you could call it.
Well, and wait, Star 69 was,
oh,
back
right.
in the day
yeah.
of landline,
yes.
if somebody called you, you could call him back.
Like if you got a
pushing Star 69.
Crank call yeah. or a bad, yeah, because people would get crank called and you could never track it
yeah.
until they said, okay, now we're introducing Star 69.
Oh, yes, because... showing the phone number on the screen wasn't a thing.
Right.
So that was like the first, that was like the very first thing that was like, you can call me and I can know who you are.
Exactly.
It's totally bad.
69, you.
Well, so the story is, so she lived in this house. You can Google this, but it was a house that she painted. There was a big cement fence around it, and she painted it the colors of the Spanish flag. So it was that orange and maroonish red. And people were, they were so upset about it. I thought it looked really cool. But anyway, so I was kind of hanging out with Madonna's brother, who was our director, and we would jog every morning really early. So he would say, just call the house. And I'm like, okay, it's like 7:30. And she was a, you know, when you can't sleep, she's a...
Insomniac.
Thank you, insomniac. So I was always really stressed about
Madonna
it.
Madonna and I have something in common.
Well,
I feel so special.
So
back then, she was like 2 or 3 hours a night. She couldn't, her brain wouldn't shut off.
Yeah.
Anyway, so it, sure enough, one morning, I think it was extra early. It was maybe like a 6 or even 5:30 call. Chris was like, just call. Guess who answers the phone?
Madonna.
And it was like, hello? And I was so stressed, I slammed the phone down. My phone rings. I picked it up. She goes, Star 69, baby.
We're like, uh-oh. Hi,
literally. And I was like, I'm so sorry. She's like, I know. Are you calling for Christopher? Yes. Anyway, but I was horrified. I just remember I woke Madonna up. Like, I barely knew the woman. We just started working.
Back.
Yeah. Star 69, baby. With that bratty voice timbre.
That'd be a good t-shirt.
We all know that timbre.
We should make that. That's a fun pastime that David and I have is because we're always coming up with ideas either in the moment at meetings or independently or whatever. We are really good at coming up with taglines
yeah,
and...
Yeah.
T-shirt ideas and
it's
all of that
fun.
Stuff.
I
personally am still on board with us starting a marketing company when we all decide to retire from our respective things and feel like we have nothing left to give, but then we will just turn around and start another business.
I love her, right, with a really catchy name.
Yeah.
She's always coming out. He came up with Fancy Pants.
Yeah.
Because I was like, what do we call it? I forget what I wanted to call it originally. Some lame thing like... You know, Chris's costumes, I don't know, it wasn't that, but it was really lame, and then he was like, what if it was Fancy Pants? Anyway, he's got the good ideas, this one.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah.
It's a blessing and a curse.
It is, yeah.
Yeah,
I should
do that, though. I love that.
I love, like, I'm
you
always
you two can
one.
Create, and I'll take notes.
Okay.
You know where Fancy Pants came from? I was out on a date one time, and this guy I was dating was really grumpy, and the waitress, he ordered something, and the waitress goes, okay, Grumpy Pants. I was like,
oh, yeah.
Oh, my God, this is brilliant. But I just saved it for Fancy Pants. Grumpy Pants didn't have the same ring, but...
Oh, my gosh.
Feel free to use it.
Yeah.
Also,
trouble.
Kudos to her. It's really fun when one of my things that I enjoy getting away with, because I sound so young,
mm-hmm.
People don't expect snarky things to come out of my face. And so it's like every once in a while, somebody will, you know... be doing something that's really like unkind or whatever, and just that little sly like, okay, Grumpy Pants. Like it's so fun because they don't expect it at all.
Right.
Which is good. I love
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
It's funny. David's more, he's, yeah, you're more brave. I'll just put the word out.
With my spoken word.
With his saying things.
I've only been punched once in a bar, but I am quite brave.
Yeah. I think it's because of my background in entertainment and being in, you know, dance class where you're like, you're just quiet
yeah.
while the teacher hits you with a stick. This is like back in the day.
Back in the
Our
day.
Ballet teacher had a stick and she hit you in the butt.
Oh.
Not hard, but hard enough to be like, ow.
Yeah, making a point.
Tuck that hip in or whatever. She'd probably be arrested these days for that. But yeah, so I'm quiet. Like when things get stressful, I quiet down and he gets mouthy. So I'm like, okay.
Well, it can't be both of us getting mouthy.
Then you're all getting punched in the face.
Yeah, it could be scary.
I would say I'm in the middle. It depends on the situation. In some situations, I'll quiet down, but in some situations, without thinking, like I run towards the problem. One of my favorite stories that it kind of explains that is when I lived in Pacific Grove, my apartment and the sweet couple next to us who were in their early 20s, I was in my mid-30s, and we shared a balcony. I get home one day, I hear the gal screaming.
Oh, yikes.
Screaming. Bloody murder. Get away from me. I mean, she's just screaming at the top of her lungs.
Oh, boy.
No thinking. Run through my apartment, hop over the balcony. Thankfully, their sliding glass door was open, so I just ripped through, jumped into their living room, and literally was like, ha-ha! Like, I was ready. I was going to take this guy out. Poor dude. He was just so nonchalantly stirring his mac and cheese on the stove. Poor sweet dear, she was having a panic attack.
Oh, no.
And her dad was her, like, safe space, and he wasn't available. So it turned out that it was nothing. It was something. It was a panic attack, but it wasn't a domestic dispute to which I thought it was. But I was just ready. Like, I just flipped that switch, and I was like, no.
For 2 seconds, I thought.
I will go.
Do you know what I thought they were going to be doing?
Oh, no.
Yeah. You can imagine.
I never thought of that.
Yeah.
And you know, I think the only thing I would have done differently than you, I probably would have stopped and, like, put on a cape.
Oh, there we go.
And then I would have gone over the neighbor's wall
in my
cape.
But that's so nice of you to do that.
Like, oh, thank you. It's just, if it's an injustice thing, like, yeah, I all of a sudden become the bravest person. And then, but if it's something where I feel like somebody's coming at me and I, like, they think I've done something wrong, then I shrink.
Then
and
you're
I'm
out.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
All right.
But the kind of funny ending was, so it was all very, like, chill. And then I had actually locked myself out of the apartment, so I had to go back the way I came. So I'm just, like, in my, like, my dress and my skirt, and I'm just, like, hopping back over the balcony.
Oh, my God. Not nearly as fun going back. Oh, probably.
Just going back to the day. I have a real problem with justice. Justice-driven.
That's kind of how I got punched in a bar, because breaking up a fight, right? It was trying to get these two people, and then somebody didn't appreciate my efforts and punched me. But, yeah, I'm kind of the same way. I have said something in crowded areas to people who are treating other people miserably. Yep. I've said something more than once, but...
Yeah, me too. There was a...
Kind of have to step in.
At San Benito, there was a guy who was just being really aggressive towards his wife, and she was sitting on a table, and she was just in that... like kind of almost fetal position.
Oh, boy.
And
you're like, I'm
nobody
going
around was doing anything. So I just walked over and I plopped my butt right next to her. And I just looked at him and I was like, I think you need to go now.
Wow, good for you.
And he was like, no, I'm talking with my gal. And I'm like, she does not look like she's enjoying it.
Right.
So you can leave.
Right.
And just sat myself right in front of him. And I'm like,
love it.
You could fight me. I was wearing flannel that day. I was ready.
So if you need Crystalline to show up for you, again, the phone number is
550. Oh, my gosh.
Feel free. Call myself. 650-479-6551. Well, thank you guys so much for coming on the show and
thanks
sharing your
us.
Amazing... just look into the amazing lives that you have, and we really look forward to seeing what happens with FIT and
thank you.
All of that.
Come take class.
Yeah.
I have my cardio dance is Thursdays and Sundays at 10. I have all levels in there. Of course, people like Trisha who called, who's advanced now because she's been with me so long, but I do have all levels, so come to FIT Studio and come take dance class.
If you're not a dancer like me, there's
spin.
TRX. There's
we have a million other things.
Boot camps. There's a lot.
Yeah,
a lot.
All right. Well, I hope
thanks
you guys have a great weekend, Coastside. Check you in 2 weeks.
Enjoy the sun.